our youth department. Amen? Amen. Turn if you would in your Bibles this morning to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Appreciate Brother Miss Stone, Brother Miss Stone, the job they're doing in the youth department. I always enjoy our kids singing. And our young people. And so, anyway. Deuteronomy, chapter 30. And let me again remind you, as you think about the book of Deuteronomy, this is Moses preaching to the children of Israel. The children of Israel came out of Egypt. God brought them out, the Bible says, with a mighty hand. And God did great miracles for the children of Israel. Brought them to Mount Sinai where they received the Ten Commandments and also the plans for the tabernacle. And they came to the River Jordan. Because of their lack of faith, they did not cross over Jordan into the promised land that God had promised to give them. But they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And basically they just ran around in a desert place for 40 years, led by the cloud by day and a fire by night. The Lord led them the whole way. But for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. Now they've come back to the River Jordan once again. And now they're about to cross over Jordan into the land that God had promised them. Into the land where they had dwelt 440 years prior, where Abraham had dwelt. And they were going back to the land that God had given them. And so Moses is preaching to them these various messages, the various sermons to this crowd, the Israelites. Many of them did not see the great miracles in Egypt because they had, most of that generation had died off in the wilderness. And so Moses is just reminding them of the great things God had done for them. How that God did send plagues upon the Egyptians. How God did save them. How God gave them food, gave them bread every morning except Saturday. Every morning they got up in the morning and there was bread on the ground. And they just went around and picked it up. It's pretty hard, isn't it? Also, the quail would just come into the camp. They just picked the quail up. God provided not only bread, but He provided meat for them for 40 years. Their sandals didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. The same clothes they had on, like for instance Caleb had on 40 years prior, he was still wearing. They didn't wear out. Isn't that something? Some of the ladies had to wear the same clothes for 40 years. The closets weren't very big. So God had done great miracles for the children of Israel. And so Moses' job here, right before they go in, because Moses, remember, because of his disobedience, is not going into the promised land. God told him, Moses, you're not going in. And so Moses is preaching to them. These are messages. These are sermons of the man of God who's 120 years old, and he's preaching to the children of Israel, reminding them of the great things God had done for them, but also reminding them of the commandments of God, the commandments they had received on top of Mount Sinai. Let's begin at verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. Now think about it now. He's preaching this. He's preaching this to the children of Israel. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, where shall I go up? Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. And I'm going to read just a few more to give you a better context of what's going on here. He says this, verse 15, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whether thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou passest over Jordan to go in to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice.
and thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your love and your blessings upon us. Lord, that you are a God who's compassionate and kind, and that you have made the gospel of our salvation so simple and very clear that it doesn't have to be searched out. We don't have to go to heaven or go to the far seas to find it. But Lord, it's very nigh to us. Lord, we ask this morning for your direction and leadership and guidance. Hide behind the cross, God. We ask this in your name. Amen. You ever go to the doctor and once he's checked you out and comes back and tells you what's wrong with you, you didn't understand a word he said, and you had to ask those great questions. Doc, what do you mean? You know, don't tell me the technical terms, the long words. Just tell me exactly what's wrong with me. It's like the names of those medicines sometimes I give out. You know, they're this long. I have no clue. I'm trusting the doctor that gives me. But sometimes a doctor or in other instances, I talk to people about computers. All I know how to do on a computer is turn it on. Thank the Lord I took typing in high school and I can actually type. But I have no clue, and I really have no want to know. You know what I'm saying? Just one of those guys. I don't care. I don't care about the iPhones. I don't care. I just all that technical. Give me a fishing pole. Amen. A lot simpler. All right. So I can talk to somebody about downloading this or uploading that or whatever it goes over my head within just a few seconds. Adam Armstrong can start talking to me and just within a few minutes I'm doing this. Whatever you'd like to do, Brother Adam, just do it, you know. It's just, I don't understand it. You know, it's hard to understand. Listen, there are some things in the Bible that are hard to understand. There are some scriptures that are hard to understand. Amen. The book of Revelation, there's some, the prophetical books. There are many things that are hard to understand. But let me tell you this morning, the gospel's not one of them. Understand that this morning. The gospel is very simple. And God made it so. Why? Because He's a merciful, loving God. He didn't make the gospel up here where only a few could understand it. He made it for all to be understood. In fact, He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." He said, if you had the faith of a child, amen, even a child can understand the gospel. Now, there are things about the gospel after you get saved that are hard to be understood. But as far as accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that is simple. Amen. And I love other things that are hard to be understood. Those are things that we are constantly learning as Christians, and it's a part of the Christian life. And in fact, I would tell you personally, it's fun. It's fun for me. I enjoy as a Christian learning of the other things that are hard to be understood. And when God opens your eyes and you get some of those truths, you say, "Oh, that's what it is." It's amazing. But the gospel is plain. The gospel is simple. The gospel was put forth that way by the Lord Jesus Christ, by God, because He's merciful and kind and gracious. Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Israelites were given a law by God. If they kept the law, I just read it there, God would bless them. He said, and that's what it said there in the rest of the verses. He said, "Listen, I have set before thee this day life and good, but also I've set before you this day death and evil." Israel had been given a law by God. They received those 10 commandments. They received the other laws. And if they kept those laws, God would bless them. But if they broke the law, God would curse them. God would curse them. Moses said here in our text verse, in verse 14, he says, "The word is very nigh unto thee and unto thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it." Again, it's very nigh unto you. You don't have to go look in heaven to find it. The truths concerning the commandments, the truths concerning the cursing and blessing, the truths concerning salvation. Understand, if they didn't keep the commandments, there was no salvation. The truths concerning salvation, the truths concerning the commandments, he said, are near to thee, near to thee. You don't have to go and find them. The path, in other words, was well marked. Well marked. He said, "Hear it and do it." Blessings are cursings. Life or death. Israel did not hear and did not do it. They failed under the bondage of the law. If you remember when Moses was on top of Mount Sinai, and when he came down the second time, and he showed again them the Ten Commandments, and he asked the question, basically, I'm summarizing, these are the commandments of God, will you keep them? What did the children of Israel say? They said, yes, we will. We will keep these laws. We will obey God. We will do what the Lord commands us to do. I'm telling you, that was a mistake. And after they saw those laws and heard those laws, they should have been on their face saying, God, we can't keep these. You understand that God put forth these laws to show them they couldn't keep them. And the only way they would escape the cursing and the only way they would escape death is through the sacrifices made at the temple. And we're going to go through a little more of this. But again, they failed under the bondage of the law. They failed under the weight of the law. All fail under the weight and bondage of the law. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We all fail the law. We cannot keep the law. Paul said, no one can show me outwardly of anything I've done wrong. But he says, oh, wretched man that I am. He says, when I saw that tenth commandment, when I saw that tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet. When I saw that tenth commandment, that sin is not just outward, it's also inward. Paul said, it smote him. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body? He says, I thank God who is able to. Amen? Listen, we all fail under the weight of the law. We all are sinners, the Bible says. Many times, the children of Israel would rise only to fall again. And you see this especially in the book of Judges. Up and down, up and down. They would obey God and follow God and do what God had commanded them to do, and then they would fail. They would obey, they would fail. They would obey, they would fail. Seven times this cycle takes place in the book of Judges. And when they would fall, when they would fail, and they would begin to go after other gods, to worship other gods, God would send the Midianites to put them under bondage. Or God would send the Philistines to put them under bondage. And then they would finally cry out to God and God would deliver them when they returned to God. When they returned to the obeying the commandments of God. Israel, Moses said, Moses is preaching to them now, listen. Moses is preaching. He's saying to them, I've given you commandments, life or death. Keep them and live, break them and die. And that's the message there. What was the purpose of the law? Number one, it was to provide a standard. To provide a standard. Here's the standard. Keep this standard. By the way, our standard today in the New Testament is Jesus Christ. Amen? He is the standard. The Bible says, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? All have sinned and come short of who and what God is. Who and what God is. God is the standard. Christ is the standard. Perfection. That is the standard. The Bible says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written herein. All things. What are herein? That's the commandments. Anyone who cannot keep the Ten Commandments, anyone who cannot keep the moral law without fail, the Bible says, he is cursed. Cursed is everyone. He said, well, I live a good life. I live a moral life. I do right and do it. Well, Paul, but that tenth commandment will get you every time. The inside matters. The inside matters. The Bible says, Jesus said in the New Testament, if you're to look upon a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery already in your heart. The Bible says if you hate, it's not just if you kill your brother, but if you hate him and want to kill him, you've committed murder already in your heart. Man, that's a tough one right there. How many of you have ever said, I just want to kill him, you know? And you've thought about it a time or two, maybe even one of your kids. That took you in this world. I brought you in this world. I'll take you out. I mean, you ever felt that way? I know I'm being a little silly, but the Bible says if you hate someone and want to murder them, to kill them, you've committed murder in your heart, even though you don't do the action. We've all come short of the standard that God laid down. The Israelites came short of the standard. The standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of the law is to show how we cannot keep it. The purpose of the law is to show how man cannot meet up to that standard. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, God in the human flesh, that we might be justified by faith." It's been a while since I've really taught this, and I touched on it 2 or 3 weeks ago a little. And I used to teach this all the time. And I think, man, we got a lot of new crowd here. And this is very, very important. Galatians tells us the law was our schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. It is the law that shows us that we are sinners. Amen. It's the law that shows us that we are sinners. We are incapable of keeping the law. Therefore, we are sinners. The law, God from Mount Sinai, thundering out the law, "Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt," you know, on down through there. And shows us that we can't keep it. That's what the Israelites should have seen. They said, "Oh Lord, we can't keep it." But they found out they could not keep it. Therefore, the Bible says the law is our schoolmaster that brings us over here to Christ. Christ kept the law. Christ lived a holy and perfect life. And therefore, when you accept Him as Savior, when you accept Him as your personal Savior, in Him, you have kept the law. And we'll cover more of that in just a moment. But Israel, again, was given the law. They were told if they kept the law, they would be blessed. If they broke the law, they would be cursed. There's so much more here. Salvation is not concealed. Salvation is not concealed among the multiple stars of heaven. Neither is it at the bottom of the sea, but it's here, it's nigh unto us, Moses is saying here. I'm going to turn over and read a little bit of Romans chapter 10. And we always look at just a couple of verses, but I'm going to read a few of them there. And the Bible says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." This is Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness is to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which does these things shall live by them." So that's the law. You live by it, you do them, you live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, and who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Who is Paul quoting here? He is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 14. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon His name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, Paul attributes Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14, talking about salvation. Everybody see that? And so Moses is saying to the children of Israel, either you keep the law and you're cursed, you keep the law and you're saved, you're blessed, you're saved, salvation. If you break the law, you're cursed. Let me say this again. If you keep the law, if you break the law, because this is the side where we're breaking the law. We're using this for the break of the law. That over there is the keeping the law. If you break the law, you're cursed. If you keep the law, you're saved. If you break the law, you're cursed. Death. If you keep the law, you're saved. Life. Everyone with me? Amen? All right. Is that simple? In the Old Testament, God was being simple with them. He didn't want to make it. It's not complicated. Keep the law. Break the law. Golly. Break the law, cursed. Keep the law, saved. Salvation is not concealed among the stars of heaven. near the bottom of the sea. It is simple enough that a child can understand it. I was saved at the age of 6. Some of you can testify the same way. It's not just for the intellectual. It's not just for the wise and understanding. In fact, just the opposite. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, by the way, it is for both, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19, the Bible says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Notice it doesn't say the foolishness of singing or the foolishness of some theater play that some church puts on. It says the foolishness of what? Preaching. The foolishness of preaching. The foolishness of preaching. Where are the wise? Where are the prudent? Listen, God made the gospel simple so that a child can understand as well as the professor. It's amazing. It's amazing. Why? Because God is merciful and kind. He's not willing that any should perish. All can understand. The educated, the non-educated, men and women, even on their deathbeds. I've been with people on their deathbeds that could only understand a few words. I led a man to the Lord who was even on a had that respirator thing on his mouth. And once in a while, we just pull it up and he would say just a couple of words. He was 2 or 3 days away from dying. Some of y'all may remember, this was about 2 years ago. And I talked to him about the gospel and he would nod his head or he would do this. He couldn't really even speak hardly. And when I asked him if he wanted to get saved, he's this. "Well, do you want to accept him today?" And I told him what to do. And he accepted the Lord as his Savior 2 or 3 days before he died. Do you believe he really got saved, preacher? Yes. Yeah. You don't have to be a theologian to understand the gospel. It's simple. Christ came to seek and to save, the Bible says, that which is lost. He made the way simple to understand. He made the way simple to understand. Even in Moses' day, it was simple. Every man is a sinner. Every man is a sinner. When the Bible talks about man, it's talking about mankind. Every man, woman, and child is a sinner. It is plain. Every Israelite was a sinner. Else why the sacrifices? Why the cleansings? Why all the animal sacrifices? The Ten Commandments thundered out from Mount Sinai in a loud and clear voice. All the Israelites heard it. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It thundered out from Mount Sinai. The Bible says like a trumpet. They heard it. They accepted it. The New Testament still rings out the truth today. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Romans 10:3 says, we read a moment ago, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." In other words, there are people in the world today who are still doing this. They're still trying to earn their way to heaven. They believe if they're a good person, they believe if they're a good mama or a good daddy, they believe if they help their neighbor, they believe if they attend church and give and read their Bible and get baptized or join a church or sit underneath some priest or some ministry or had some experience that they saw some vision or they had some tingling running up and down their spine, they believe that they have made their way to heaven. The Bible says, if you've sinned, you're cursed. And nothing you can do can change that cursing. You're cursed. You're under death penalty. Only in Jesus Christ is there life. Only in Jesus Christ is there life. Only in Christ. Death or life. You say, "Well, I'll do this and I do that, preacher. I've done this and I've done that." No, the Bible says all of our righteousness, all of our deeds are as filthy rags. They don't amount to a hill of beans when it comes to salvation. Salvation is so simple. Every man, woman, and child must submit to the standard of Christ, perfection. You're either perfect and you go to heaven. You're either perfect or you go to heaven. This is sad. You're either perfect or you go to heaven. Or you miss it once and you go to hell. James 2:10 says, if you've broken one law, you've broken them all. Why? Because there's only one law in the New Testament. It's defined as doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Matthew 7:12, Jesus' own words says, whatsoever you would that a man should do to you, do you even also to them? For this is all the law and the prophets. All the law of the Old Testament is summarized into one. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. Can I love everyone in the world as I love myself all the time? We can do it some of the time. But I'm telling you, there's sometimes I just want to take somebody's head off. Amen? And I'm pretty laid back guy. But there's just times it gets right down to it. It's not even righteous anger. Sometimes it's just mad. Amen? Amen. How many of y'all are hot in here? I'm about to die. I set them. I don't know what happened. Somebody changed them. I have to go get a new key in the lockbox. Man, if there's any way we can turn that air conditioning down, I don't know what the deal is. Y'all are going to make the preacher pat. Y'all are making me earn my pay this week, I guess.
Free job.
I haven't seen me without my jacket off. All this weight I'm losing, right?
Yeah.
Some of y'all had no faith in me when we started this thing. I said, preacher, I asked you, all of you, I said, how do you think I'll do in the Biggest Loser contest? All of you were against me except one visitor who sat over here. If you're not for me, you're against me, brother. Skeptical. That was our commercial. Everybody with me?
Preach on.
Preach on. Amen. Again, the Bible summarizes, Christ Himself summarizes the law down to doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. No one, me, you, none of us can keep the law without fail. Therefore, we are under the curse. Jesus' life, the law is cursing. Old and New Testament. Old and New Testament. Paul makes it very clear that life, Moses made it very clear that life was in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God. It takes perfection to get to heaven. The point again is simple. All men have failed to meet the law. All men are under the curse. And that it takes a blood sacrifice to pay for those sins. We understand that Christ paid for our sins by His shed blood on Calvary. The penalty for sin in the Old Testament was cursing. It was death. We just read it a moment ago. You can go back and we won't do it, but in Deuteronomy chapter 29, it goes back and Moses goes over verses 14 through 24. He really makes it very clear that if you don't keep the law, God is going to take you out. That your enemies will overthrow you. That you will be cursed. That you will receive death. Again, a death penalty through the law. It was plain in the Old Testament that salvation came by way of sacrifice. Again, Adam saw the first animal killed to cover his sins, to atone for his sins. And the Israelites, by way of the law, kept the sacrifices going. In other words, every morning and every evening in the Israelite camp, a sacrifice would be made for the children of Israel. The priests would come into the tabernacle first thing in the morning and they would offer a sacrifice for the children of Israel. In the evening before they went to bed, they would offer a sacrifice for the children of Israel. If a man made an offering to God, if Brother Watson here was going to make an offering to God, he would bring a lamb. He'd bring a turtle dove. He would bring a bullock. He'd bring a lamb to the priest. And Brother Watson would take that lamb to the priest. Brother Watson would lay his hand upon that lamb. The priest would pray, and then they would slit the lamb's throat. Brother Watson learned from a little child. All the Israelites learned from the time they were very young that the only way to have life was through sacrifice, the shed blood of an animal. Right? They understood that through the law, cursing was going to take place. That through the law, death was to take place. But they understood their only way of escaping the cursing and the death was through the sacrifice. Was through the blood that was shed by that animal. When that priest and that Israelite took upon himself, whether it was the daily sacrifices, whether it was the yearly sacrifice of the Passover, all these lessons showed the children of Israel that atonement must be made for sins. Atonement simply means a payment or making it up. Making it up, paying back. It is clearly declared to the children of Israel by the shedding of the blood of the sacrifices. By the way, it was a perpetual sacrifice. Every year they had to make these sacrifices. Every day they made these sacrifices. Every day. And for some of you who can remember this, we're taught this, and we don't have time to go into all the theology behind it. But the children of Israel, again, were looking forward to the cross. Every sacrifice that was made, morning and evening, every year on the Passover, a sacrifice was made for the children of Israel. Every year, all it was doing was pushing their sins forward. It wasn't forgiving their sins. It was merely pushing them forward to the time the Messiah would come and give life. Hebrews says that He made the final sacrifice for sins. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, He made the final sacrifice for the sins of the world. But the children of Israel were reminded over and over again that sacrifice was the way of life. It is plain in the New Testament that Christ was the final sacrifice. He shed His blood for us to give us life. The Bible says it was the final sacrifice according to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. The Bible says, but this man, Jesus Christ, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, not temporary, not pushing the sins forward, sat down the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 1 says, when He, Christ, had by Himself purged our sins. Jesus Christ made the final sacrifice for sins. Jesus Christ shed His blood on Calvary that we might have life. That we might have life. Jesus Christ came and atoned for our sins by the blood that He shed on Calvary. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that gives life. All those lamb sacrifices were just a reminder to the children of Israel that a price must be paid because of their inability to keep the law. That through the sacrifices they would have life. And that one day the Messiah would come and He would be that final sacrifice. They were taught that. They understood that. The lamb took the sin upon themselves. Again, as that individual laid his hand upon that sacrifice, and the priest cut that lamb's throat. That lamb, by faith, that individual who brought the lamb would by faith understand that that lamb was taking his sins. By faith, that person would understand and know that one day the final lamb would come and die on the cross for them, Jesus Christ. The lamb, not only was it by faith they believed that the lamb took their sins, but by faith they understood that the lamb was their substitute. That the lamb died in our place. Again, the law is cursing. The law brings death. And therefore, a price must be paid in order to bring life. The price was paid. When you brought that little lamb to the priest and that throat of that lamb was cut, that lamb died in your stead. Amen. Let me tell you, the final lamb was Jesus Christ. And He came and was put on a Roman cross and laid Himself there on that cross, and there He shed His blood on Calvary in order to atone for our sins, in order to pay back our sin debt. He there shed His blood on Calvary that we might have life, because under the law we were cursed. By putting our faith in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have life. Christ was the substitute. For He, God the Father, made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us. Listen closely now. For He, God the Father, made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us. When Jesus on that cross, He took upon the sins of the world. Just as that little lamb in the Old Testament pictured the taking of sins upon that little lamb and the shedding of the blood of that little lamb as a substitute for that individual who brought the lamb. Jesus Christ wasn't a picture anymore. This was the final sacrifice. This wasn't the sin that was pushed forward every year. This was the final sacrifice for sins. The Bible says, I just read it, forever. And Jesus Christ shed His blood on Calvary. God the Father made Him, God the Son, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. To be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When you accept Christ as your Savior, when you believe and put your faith and trust in Him, His life, His death, His resurrection, as your only means of salvation from the sins you committed, you receive a righteous and perfect record. And let me tell you again, I said the very first of the message, the only way for you to get into heaven is with a perfect life. Can you live a perfect life? No, we're cursed. We're cursed under the law. No man can keep the law without fail. Then how are we to get into heaven? We're to get into heaven and escape the curse of the law, which is death, by way of Jesus Christ. When you accept Christ as your personal Savior, your sinful record is erased, and Christ's sinless record is put in its place. When I accepted Christ as my Savior at the age of 6 years old, my sinful record was erased, past, present, and future. And before God today, I stand perfect. My standing before God is perfect. When I get to heaven someday, whether by death or by the coming of Christ, when I stand before God, I will not give an account for my sins. No computer screen's going to come down and say, "All right, you did this, 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 and this. But you also did this good thing, this good thing, this good thing. Okay, you did enough good things, you're good to go to heaven." No. There's not going to be any scales in heaven with your good stuff on one side and your bad stuff on the other. The Bible nowhere teaches that. Nowhere. The only thing that is going to get you into heaven, the only way that you'll get into heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. By believing and accepting Him as Savior. Jesus said Himself in John chapter 14, He said, "I am the way." He did not say He was the best way. He did not say He was kind of the way. But He said, "I am the way, the only way." He is the only way. But He's so merciful and gracious to mankind, and that He made the way simple. You understand why many people will not accept Him as Savior? Because the way to them is too simple. Because we by nature want... I've used this illustration before, but my pawpaw was all about, "You don't get nothing for free." I remember him saying that to me many times. Him and I got in a discussion about finances and 401ks and all that kind of stuff one time. And I said, "Yeah, you can get a financial planner. They don't charge anything." And first words out of his mouth is, "Nothing's for free. Somebody, they're getting paid somehow." I said, "Yeah, they're getting paid. This is the way they get paid. nothing's for free." We're just geared that way, aren't we? We're always skeptical. Tell me, where's the fine line? There's somewhere in here you're getting to me, right? Here a few years ago, me and my wife, you know, one of these vacation places called, you know, they would give you all that free stuff, you know, to come out and listen to their little spiel. And I said, "You know what, we'll do that. It's a good time to give you like 2 or 3 free days at the little resort thingy. And I can listen to anybody and say no," so it was cool. And so we listened to their spiel, we said no. But when you say no, you finally go over here, you fill out some papers, but you receive a little scratch-off card. A little scratch-off card, little thingy. I didn't pay for the card, so it's not gambling. I didn't pay them a dime. I didn't pay a dollar, I didn't pay nothing. But it's a little card that you got, and you scratch it off. And we scratched it off, and it says we were a winner. Y'all remember, some of y'all remember this a few years ago, that this happened to me and my wife. I said, "Yeah, what, it's like a $1,500 shopping spree or something." I said, "Yeah, all right." And I handed the lady back. She says, "You won." I said, "What? Yeah, you won." "That's okay. Yeah, it's dollar gift cards or something, you know. The whole $1,500 is like dollar gift cards or somewhere." "No," she said, "we just brought you a $1,500 check." I said, "No way. There's a catch. Tell me what the catch is." She said, "Nope. I'm going to go right now, write you a check, and it's yours." And again, because we are so ingrained, nothing's for free. Nothing's for free. It took a while until they actually handed me the check. I still didn't believe them. And then I had to cash it and make sure it didn't bounce, right? And it didn't bounce. I was like, $1,500. Woo-hoo! All right. Man, we came out on top on this one. But again, nothing for free. My pawpaw's words, nothing for free, nothing for free. The reason why a lot of people, cannot grasp the simplicity of the gospel, death, life, because they just can't get it. They said, I've got to do something in order to inherit eternal life. I've got to earn this. I've got to do this. I've got to join this organization. I've got to be baptized. I've got to give so much. I've got to... No, it's free. By simply putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. By believing in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Cursing, death by way of the law, life everlasting by way of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. Do you have life this morning? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Moses said, the word is nigh unto thee. Paul reiterates that in Romans and says, the word is nigh unto thee. In other words, you don't have to go to the deep sea to figure it out. You don't have to go to heaven to figure it out. It's simple. It's here. It's right now. Please surrender to Him.